SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. You know what that means. I am Scott Bogman at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba at BDentric on the Twitter machine. Bubba, it's your birthday this week. Happy birthday. You're turning 37 years old in a row. That's right. How is your birthday going, man?
It's good. It's good. I appreciate the love there, but it's good. It's just, as you know, as you get to a certain peak, it's just another year. So I literally forgot exactly. My wife had to remind me what the actual number was, because I just stopped caring. I could do the quick math. It's really not that hard when we were born in 83. But yeah, it's one of those kind of deals. I'm like, oh, cool. Well, let me know when we get to 40. It'll kind of, you know, at least be a number.
Right. Exactly. What was, do you remember, like, is there a birthday that sticks out in your head, either good or bad, either way?
In my head, probably not really. I guess the best one would be when I turned 18, because I was one of the older kids in high school. And I had a fake ID. Don't turn me in now. It's a little late on that one. But so we always knew where the parties were on Friday. And we had a entertainment of the night show up for that evening, which was a big deal when you're in high school at 18 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And then we had a couple kegs. So I'm not going to forget that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. I mean, I've had a lot of good birthdays, but of course, the one that sticks out in my memory so much is, I believe it was the first year, is either the first or second year after I moved to Arizona, and the Steelers played the Chargers in the AFC Championship game to go and play against the Niners in the Super Bowl. And obviously, since the Steelers have never played the Niners in the Super Bowl, you guys all know how that ended. The Steelers had a great year, but that was, he just came up short on my birthday. I was not very happy, of course. But
well, what's cool though is you have the chance to watch your team play in the playoffs on your birthday. I've had the luxury of watching a World Series game on my birthday. Like, you get kind of cool stuff like that. Otherwise, you're just kind of bored.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, navigating your birthday. Like I told my buddy, I think all of his kids have been born in July, and I'm like, you're doing the right thing. Like, have them all be born in July, so there's no sports scheduling conflict, except maybe the All-Star game if you want to go to it. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's In This League on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba. Follow him at BDentric. And Casey, please tell everybody where they can find all of your amazing work.
I appreciate that. BDentric on Twitter, like you said, you can find everything there, because I'll tweet it out like crazy. But Bench with Bubba is my flagship podcast. I do it at least once a week, trying to do twice a week, at least every other week when time permitting. But I have a two scheduled for next week, so we're starting to crank back up where I can with work slowing down, the real job and all. So we got that going on. I'll be writing at rotoballer.com, doing some DFS and season long. And if you like golf, I got you covered at the always pressing PGA DFS podcast. But just follow me on Twitter and I'll tweet everything way too many times.
Now, it's tough for us here, Mr. Birthday Boy, to talk about baseball with the series ongoing, because, you know, this show comes out on Saturday. Some people listen to it on Sunday or Monday. So the series are, you know, going to be wrapped up by Monday. We know that. And we'll know who is playing in the World Series. But there have been some things happening in these series that I would love to talk about. And the very first one, And I don't think that Welsh and I really touched too much on this in the most recent baseball pod, but what was with Walker Buehler getting so upset about the pants question? His pants were super tight and everyone on Twitter was talking about it. And then I'm assuming it's because they lost that game, but he said, this is not the time or place. I don't know. I might have fired back with well, it's never a time or place to wear the pants that tight, man. What are you doing? So that was just a funny thing that a bunch of people noticed. Were you sharing in that Twitter trend?
No, I didn't really care because if I was Walker Buehler, I would have piped back and said, well, did you like what you saw or something along those lines? Because you're staring at my tight pants. But I really don't care. The only time I have tight pants on is because I ate too much the last month and I need to probably either lose some weight or go get some more pants. So it's never an issue for me that I plan on doing. Some guys like it that way. It seems uncomfortable to me, but I think it is odd. I think he probably got mad because they just lost game one. He's supposed to be the ace. He's supposed to go out and set the tone. He didn't pitch horribly, but didn't get the W. That's what they're there for. So it could be worse. There's been some worse questions so far this postseason, but yeah, everyone's focused on that. A lot of women of Twitter were very excited about Walker Buehler's situation. Just going to put it out there like that.
All right.
So, yeah, it was good. I didn't comment on it, but I sat and watched it and laughed going, man, if this was like reversed roles and guys are tweeting about this stuff, we'd all be canceled.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know we can't be doing that, of course. But what were the other questions that you're talking about that were worse than the pants tight question?
So after game two, Braves Dodgers, when the Dodgers came back and almost came, I think the Braves were up 8-2 or 8-3 or whatever, and the Dodgers almost came back and won it. And Melanson came in and shut it down, came in for one out, got the out. So in the post game, Dave O'Brien, I believe, of the one of the Atlanta beat writers, he asked Mark Melanson, so what can you take away from this game? Because, you know, you guys almost blew it and all this stuff. But he was on this whole diatribe, like momentum's in the Dodgers locker room and all this stuff. You guys are up 2-0, but what can you take away from it? And all Melanson did was looked at him and goes, I don't think I understand your question. I'm not going to answer it because it's a dumb question.
Well, Melanson also proving to be one of the cooler guys in the world, where he's caught two homers in the bullpen so far.
Both by the Albies. Both Albies.
Yeah, that's it's a pretty incredible feat. Did you participate in the Too Early Mock? Is that still going?
Yeah, I'm in the Too Early Mocks with the Welsh, and we're the first ones to start League One, and now we're one of the slowest ones in the entire thing. So we're still going on.
Let me ask you this. Has Randy Arozarena gone yet?
Yes, he has. If you'd like me to pull up where he's gone, I can tell you all the fun stuff there, because it's been a point of contention. As you know, I heard you guys talk about it this week. It's very interesting to see where he's going. But Arozarena, as an ADP of 111, in our league, he went to pick 126th. The lowest is 142, highest is 96.
So, you know, his postseason performance has been absolutely incredible, and yes, I don't think anyone can deny that. But you know, we see this on occasion where a guy has an amazing postseason and then is unbelievably overdrafted. I don't know that this, you know, what you said, 111 is his ADP in the two early mocks.
His player 111, his ADP is 117. My bad.
Okay, so 117. Do you think that's probably about where he's going to go, or do you think that the hype is going to cool down once the postseason comes to a close? And, you know, like if the Rays are in the World Series, then he's just okay or not good. Do you think it's going to fall completely off? What's your opinion on that?
Well, once he wins the ALCS MVP and then the World Series MVP, it's going to be tough for him to go any farther down. But I think come March, it's the best part about these two early mocks is I did some stuff a couple weeks ago with some people about looking at last year's two early mocks and then looking like an NFBC ADP in March this year and seeing the differences. The two early mocks should also be called like the recency bias mocks. And that's what a lot of it is. Cause you go through like Ketel Marte is going so low because he had a rough 60 games. I'm sorry. That's an extreme value. Randy Arozarena is one of the guys getting the bump. He's good. He's deserves to be, you know, on a roster this year, power speed combo, decent average, but let's be real. Like, do we expect him to do this the whole time? Maybe. Am I going to be willing to pay that price for him? No, not when there's guys going around him I'd rather take a chance on and whatnot. So I think he goes farther down than this. I'd say he's probably around more like 140, 150 come February, March, but not this price tag.
Yeah, I mean, I've just looked up on baseball references, you know, his postseason stats here, and he's hitting .404 with 5 homers, 1 swipe, 7 RBI, and 12 runs so far. So he is playing incredible so far this year. And I think, why is that? I think this is including stuff.
It's including his last season.
Yeah,
he's hitting close to like 470. I had to write about that on Thursday. So I looked it up, closer to 470. Just he's hitting 9 of 11 games before game 5 started.
Yeah, it's just looking. Do they have today's game in here? I don't know.
No,
it says 442. 442 with 5. It's the same 5 homers, and he doesn't have a swipe this year. It's the same 5 homers and 12 runs and all that stuff. I just I remember when Welsh is doing all of his card breaks, that every other card was Randy Arozarena on the Cardinals as a rookie, and he was kind of the filler guy, it seemed like, before the season started and all that. The last baseball question I have before we start talking some football in the next segment, why is everyone so mad at what Zach Greinke said? He just said he was happy with no fans. I think everyone knows that he has social anxiety. I think he's weird on top of that, of course, but I don't like, this was not a surprising thing for him to say that he was, he's enjoyed this season because there haven't been fans.
Let's be real. He's had some of his best career moments in Kansas City. So obviously he doesn't want fans in the stands. This is what this is what he does, but no one should be surprised by this. You mentioned the anxiety thing. Like, it's a severe thing with him. There's moments where he didn't want to sign certain places. It's not like it's a minor thing for him. It's a major implication for him. So it makes sense. And then, you should be glad guys are open. I appreciate guys when they open up about things.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, cause these guys are human beings too. We talk about it a lot, trying to evaluate talent as we don't know what's going on off the field. Like, a part of that interview where he talked about the fans, he mentioned before he got to San Diego for the bubble, in San Diego was the first time he saw his wife and kids the entire season.
Wow.
So you talk about what some of these players are going through when we start evaluating the seasons they had and things. Not all players are the same. Don't get me wrong. Like, we've seen Freddie Freeman with his wife and kids, but some are. And we need to we don't know all the answers. And the way he's already got the social issues, I could see why he loved this season. And then he made a comment also that he was glad that someone with the Astros, talking about Dusty Baker, finally trusted him in game 4 to let him throw an extra inning because he doesn't feel like people believe in his talents in Houston.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That might be a little too honest. The anxiety stuff and not liking the fans in the stands are not surprising at all. I did see a Reddit thread where a bunch of people were coming to his aid and saying, "Hey, look, we were just standing around. He walked right up to us and signed stuff without us asking." So he knows it's part of the gig. But, he's got anxiety issues. So with that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start diving in on some of these games from week six, excuse me. So we'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
Welcome back, everybody, on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and I'm here with Casey Bubba. We're going to talk about week 6 and our betting trends and everything, but we have first got to give it up to Bubba. He had a fantastic week this week. The Welsh and I, not so hot. You were 8-4 against the spread and 7-5 on the over-under. So take a victory lap, man.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. And considering a couple of the games that I missed on were some of my favorite. I went 1-2 on the parlay. So some of my top plays, not so much, but everything else came home beautifully. And I'm just going to throw this in here real quick while I have a chance. The Miami beatdown was outstanding.
Oh yeah.
Good, throw that one out. You know, well, dude, another reason why COVID sucks is that's a literally like an hour drive for me, and I have a bunch of Dolphins and Niner fans here. That would have been a game we would have gone to in 20 seconds, like in a heartbeat. And I usually I go to games like where my teams get their rear end kicked. I would have got to see an absolute beatdown, and I'm not obnoxious drunk or anything like that, so that would never have been an issue. So it would have been like pretty cool.
Well, it's not, you know, if you know you're not an obnoxious drunk, it's a nice thing to know, but it's never about you. You know, it's about other obnoxious drunk people starting a bunch of S. You know, I've never really liked that. I tell you what, most people really, really, really enjoyed Tuesday Night Football. So, you know, I think a permanent Tuesday Night Football, it was a fine idea, but I would like to replace Thursday Night Football with Tuesday Night Football. What are your thoughts on that? And did you enjoy the Tuesday Night Football?
Yes, I did, because I got to watch one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL do it again without Adam Gase slowing him down. So that was great. I got to see Derrick Henry run wild. I got to see Derrick Henry and Jonnu Smith on my benches in fantasy leagues do wonderful things on my bench because I couldn't roll the dice because the Titans are the Titans and I expected more COVID hits. But having football was awesome. It's great. It's great, Boxman, because we talked about it before. We love action. Like this, this is getting people ready for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night action. This is what we do. So what I want to, you know, suggest to you or ask you is Tuesday night's cool. I think Thursday night's horrible. I'm with you 100% there. Like, so bad. Like
Thursday.
And I think we'll see this week with, you know, them playing Tuesday and then getting a week, or at least not playing until Sunday, how much better that is compared to Sunday to Thursday situation. Just watch that.
Yeah.
But I would rather do the two Monday night games. I think that's so much more fun.
So if you had to pick one, you would go two Monday night football games and then no Tuesday or Thursday.
No, but I would make it mandatory that there's always college on Tuesdays. Like if Maction's not happening, football needs to be there for sure, 100%. But there's got to be other conferences that can play. I think it's the Mountain West. They have a lot of Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays in their schedule because they're trying to cram it all in this year. You would obviously know way more about the college stuff than me. But I'd be curious about that.
I mean, I got so lost in the schedule. I can't keep up. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard enough to keep up with the NFL, with all the stuff that's happening now with, you know, Atlanta. Maybe maybe them in Minnesota might get pushed back or not play this week. Who knows? You know, Odell just got sent home with an illness, but they're saying he tested negative for COVID and all that stuff. So. It was just funny to me that everyone was like, oh my God, I love football on Tuesday. This is amazing. I'm like, well, we've had football on Thursday forever, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years at least. So it's been a while. So I was just kind of surprised that everyone was so happy to have, you know, Tuesday night football. I guess it's just, you know, Sundays, not every Sunday, everyone can make it. I mean, obviously I make a priority and cut everyone out of my life that doesn't understand that Sundays are for football and that's that, you know, but not everyone is a psychopath like I am. And I get that. So they were happy that they were able to watch it. Now, let me ask you this with Josh Norman, just and look, you got to give the guy credit. He stuck his nose in there against Derrick Henry. He made an effort for a tackle way better than stupid Leon Jacobs with the Jaguars, who I've seen, you know, duck and cover away from Derrick Henry a couple times and show no effort to try to make a tackle. He stuck his nose in there. Look, it's a funny situation. Hopefully that's not what everyone remembers from Josh Norman's career, but it's what they're going to remember in the next year or two is Derrick Henry throwing him off like he was a bug on a windshield. But what was your favorite when you're looking at all of the memes that have been made? What was your favorite one that you saw?
Yeah, I probably haven't seen nearly as many as you have because you go down some rabbit holes that I am jealous of at times. But I love one of the ones I saw where it was simple editing that I could do. It was on top of Derrick Henry. It said Titans protocol and Josh Norman with CDC guidelines. Like, I thought that was good. That one's genius. Absolutely genius. And then I like the one where they edited just Josh Norman out and one was throwing him out of the front of the house. They put a house behind them. But the best one, I saw it, I think, this morning. It was the stomp the yard where the breakdancing and Josh Norman is doing the breakdance in the middle of the poster, the movie poster. That one was great. But I think the one where they're shoving the CDC guidelines, it's like so realistic, it's funny.
It's my favorite one. Titans COVID protocols, yeah. And then it was just a COVID head on Derrick Henry, yeah. Like, you know, the cell or whatever, and it was shoving him off. That was the first one I saw too, yeah. And that was my absolute favorite one. So a lot of good stuff going there with the memes and Derrick Henry and stuff. And you're right, yeah. Ryan Tannehill looked unbelievably impressive, and I don't think we haven't seen Josh Allen look that bad in a while. He looked off.
Do you think, like, there's been so much talk about it? I know you've seen it, and there's like some people making excuses, this and that. Do you think it had anything to do with the weird schedule for the Bills, like starting up, stopping, where the Titans,
sure,
like,
didn't help?
Like,
yeah.
I can't remember who, I think it was Pat McAfee was talking about it. Like, the Titans, at least every day, the NFL said, no, you're practicing, no, you're not. So it's like the Bills always kept practicing, like they were playing, and then they just kept, yeah, shut down. Where it's different, like the Titans are really resting, like they had a, yeah, long bye week, like they weren't doing anything. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. But I also think that it was just, when your quarterback is that bad, yeah, and on the other side, Ryan Tannehill was playing so well, it's just hard to re-up and refocus. And, you know, you're setting up defenses in short, you're punting real quick. Like, it's just, you're letting the Tennessee Titans defense breathe way too much. You need to keep them on the field and keep them gasping for air. And he was just, it was three and outs, and turnovers were not good for Buffalo. So that's why they're looking at adding Bell, obviously. Look, you were amazing last week, 8-4, 7-5. We've mentioned that. Not great on the parlay, but you did. You were one of two correct parlay picks, because I missed all three of mine. You got one of three. Welsh also got one of three. So it wasn't a great week for that, but you did a great job in picking these games. So let's kick it off for week six, and we're going to start with the Atlanta-Minnesota game and the line I've got on that. Should this game go, and I made this rule with Welsh, if it changes by more than 2 points either way, we'll redo it, and I'll readjust the sheet here. I'll text you, and you'll know, and all that stuff. But and we might just take it off because if this game gets pushed. But it's Minnesota -4.5 hosting Atlanta. 54.5 is the over. What do you have in that one, Bubba?
Yeah, new head coach in Atlanta, about 6 weeks too late, so that's a good start. Yeah. But I like Minnesota a lot. I know Dalvin Cook's not going to play, but Madison is obviously a very good talent, and that's not going to mean anything because Atlanta can't play defense, period. Irv Smith should feast. I got Minnesota by at least a touchdown, so even if the line moves, not worried. Give me Minnesota, but give me the under in this one. I think Minnesota, you know, does their thing, runs the ball, keeps it slow, and Atlanta just has no answer.
Yeah, I'm with you on Minnesota. I took the over because I just don't have a good feel on what the offense is going to look like in Atlanta. You know, when a defensive guy, and I said this earlier, so sorry for repeating myself, but when a defensive guy takes over, sometimes they like to run the ball and play good defense, which I don't know if you'll get from Atlanta anyway. The next game here is Baltimore at Philly. Baltimore are 7.5-point road favorites. 48 is the over on that game.
Yeah, Baltimore looked real good last week, huh, against Cincinnati. Got me wrong on that one. But
yeah,
going into Philly, a team that just has no protection for Carson Wentz, Baltimore's defense is going to feast. Give me Baltimore and the under in this one.
Baltimore and the under. I took the over in this one because I do think that Philly's defense actually plays decent, but I think that'll play into Lamar's hands. He'll have to run. So didn't run last week, had this knee soreness. They didn't need him to at all. But I do, you know, you should listen to Bubba on these picks, by the way. Like, the over-unders, he's gotten better way over me this year. So he's actually over 500, and I'm well under. So, but that's just how I see the game going in my head. Chicago is on the road at Carolina. Carolina is a 1.5-point favorite. 45 is the over in this game. Matt Rhule's got the Panthers playing well. They've won their last three in a row, but Chicago just beat Tampa Bay on Thursday Night Football. So what are you going with in this one?
I love what Teddy's doing with the under center. You got Davis being Christian McCaffrey light, lots of weapons in the passing game. Give me Carolina in this one, covering the -1.5, and give me the over. The over-under of only 45. I know they're respecting the Bears' defense in this one, but Nick Foles can move the ball. Carolina can't play defense at all. So this is one of those like 24-21, 27-21 type games. Carolina, over.
Carolina and the over. All right. Yeah. I went with Chicago, which of course makes me nervous because I trust Nick Foles like I trust myself to not drink soda when it's sitting right in front of me. You know what I mean? Like that's not a very high level of trust to have in Nick Foles. But there are some games he looked good on Thursday, and there are some games where, you know, he is big D Nick, you know, and he's making those throws and he's going through it and he looks great. And it's so weird that some of these quarterbacks can have, you know, a four to five game stretch where they look like Hall of Famers. And then, you know, for the rest of their career, they're Joe Flacco. So, but we have to take a break here. So we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we'll finish up all these bets for week six with Bubba. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
Not me. Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba, at BD Entrick. We are talking about these Week 6 games, and the next one on the list here, Bubba, is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are favored by 8. 46.5 is the over. I'm very curious. The Welsh and I were split on this one. I won't tell you where we went, so you can be the tiebreaker here. But your guy Joe Burrow was 4-0. Now he's 4-1 against the spread after getting stomped by Baltimore. How do you see this game playing out?
This is a really tricky one because Indiana's defense is pretty darn legit right now, but their offense, like Phillip Rivers, looks broken. It was good seeing T.Y. Hilton get a lot of targets last week, but that's a whole other story. Burrow's still gonna throw the ball. He might get crushed left and right, but give me Cincy plus 8 and give me the under in this game. I think both teams want to establish the run as long as they can before they start throwing it. Cincy under.
I went with Indy in the under. I don't, just seeing what happened with Baltimore last week, I have no confidence in this O-line. They're gonna get the guy killed.
Yeah, like how long do you let him out, leave him out there to just get pounded?
I mean, he's looking at the bye week and really, really hoping for it.
He's praying that a future opponent gets COVID.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wouldn't be bad for him. Yeah. A couple extra days in an ice bath, you know, All that stuff. So, but he is getting beat to a pulp right now. But we know that, you know, the Bengals are going to be drafting a bunch of offensive linemen in the next draft to try to shore that up or signing someone. Because it is absolutely ugly. You got to protect that guy. To be honest, I feel like to protect him, how about give the ball to Mixon a little bit more, even if it's short throws, you know, make your offense a little more West Coasty, you know, and get some of those short throws in there.
Two-step drops, go.
How about this one? Cleveland at Pittsburgh. My Steelers are favored by 3. 51 is the over. A pretty good battle here because the Browns have their best start in whatever, 1,000 years. And the Steelers have their best start since 1979. So it's great starts for both these franchises. You know, Kareem Hunt says this one's for Miles. Okay.
Wow.
Had you not heard that one yet?
Didn't hear that one yet. That's Ooh. A bold strategy, Cotton. I would love to have a spot on a couch next to you for this one because if Cleveland gets to any early lead, it'll be outstanding, Peter. Outstanding, Peter.
Yeah. My neighbors are not going to be very happy on Sunday, I think, because this does look like a tight game. So yeah. How do you see it playing out?
I'm going to take the Pitt minus 3, but I think it's a really good game. Cleveland, like we always like to make fun of them because, well, they've earned it, but they're actually a decent football team right now. Pittsburgh's the better football team. Give me Pittsburgh at home, minus 3, and give me the under. I think this is a back-and-forth, old-school AFC North slugfest where they beat up on each other. Both got phenomenal O-lines and D-lines where it's going to be a physical game. Pittsburgh under.
Yeah, I mean, and we're lockstep on that game for sure. I am absolutely Pittsburgh and the under with you on that game. I just think they're going to run the ball a bunch. I think who has more sacks, Garrett or Watt?
I'll go with Watt just because they're going to need to try to catch up at one point in time, and Baker will hold it too long.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I hope that happens. I'm with you on that one. This game is finally getting played this week. The Broncos are at the Patriots. New England, a 9-point favorite, 45 points is the over-under here. Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton back practicing with the team, expected to be able to go after all of the COVID stuff going on. How do you see that one playing out? Drew Lock kind of questionable right now. He's getting in limited practice, and Noah Fant is even getting in practice a little bit here. I think it would be surprising if Fant went. I kind of expect Lock to go if he's out there practicing. So what do you see in this one?
Yeah, Lock should go. Fant, they have no reason to rush him back. He's the future tight end for them. Stop that. But he could, and I'm going to take New England -9. Belichick likes to prove people wrong on things. So it's one of those moments where a healthy Cam Newton and this team should just roll it home. So I'll take New England and the over.
New England and the over. Which is dumber, by the way? This one is for Miles or the Titans using everyone being mad at them about COVID for inspiration in their game.
As bad as the Hunt one is, it's the Titans because you idiots got COVID. Like, just shut up. Like, just, and it wasn't just one or two of you guys, because we've seen that happen and life goes on. It was like a quarter of your system. Like, be quiet.
Yeah. How about Detroit on the road at Jacksonville? 3.5 is the spread here in Detroit's favorite, a road favorite, and 54.5. Lots of points in that one. What do you see?
I'm going to go with Detroit and the under in this one. You got to come off the bye week, healthy Megatron. Detroit will score plenty. Jacksonville won't be able to keep up. Detroit,
healthy Megatron. Under. What?
Not Megatron. Galladay. Megatron like Galladay. That bye week's going to do wonders for him. So give me Detroit, but give me the under, because I don't think Jacksonville, like, they're looking worse and worse every week.
My buddy from Detroit, who's a Lions fan, was over here watching the game with me this week. And I said, you know, they call this guy Mapletron, right? Talking about Chase Claypool. Yep. And he goes, no. No, they don't. And I said, yeah, they do. He's like, no. No one can be called Megatron, Mapletron, anything.
He doesn't get Megatron. He doesn't get silly Canada humor? Come on.
No. But he was just saying that no one gets the nickname because of Megatron. And then Chase Claypool scored 4 touchdowns in front of his eyes. So that
almost
was
had a fifth. Almost had a fifth.
Yeah. Well, that one should have counted. So that was a ridiculous call. But there were a bunch of bad calls both ways in that game. Houston is on the road at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite coming off that big Tuesday night victory. 53 is the over on that one. How do you see it playing out?
Tennessee in the over. Good divisional game. Both teams can put up some points. Tennessee and even Tannehill, I have wrote it up for my Roto-Baller piece, plays phenomenal against Houston. He loves facing this Houston defense. So I see it Tennessee and the over.
Derrick Henry against this defense that keeps giving up 100-yard rushers. And they're down Bernard McKinney, too. It's I think it's going to get ugly pretty quick in that game. I almost said it. Washington, I already said it in this show before. Washington on the road against the Giants. The Giants are 2.5-point favorites. 42.5 is the over. Are you going with the Giants or the R words?
Well, in reality, the winner of this game is no one. So that's what stinks. I'm going to take the Giants at home because in reality, both bad teams, but they're better. Like, as bad as that sounds, they're the better of the bad. So give me the Giants and give me the over. Like, this is a horrible football. Do not bet this football game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I took Washington in the over. I said, I have no confidence either way on the spread or on the over under in this game. So that is one that we leave alone absolutely wholly and completely and don't bet it. The Jets are on the road against your Miami Dolphins. Your Dolphins are 9.5-point favorites, 47.5.
So 2020 right there
is the over right there. And they might be getting Bell soon too. I mean, things are trending in the right direction for Miami. So your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I never thought I'd see a day where Miami is fit. Usually it's a +9.5 or something. So this is pretty strange, but I'm going to take Miami. We talked about it last week. It took a couple weeks, you know, no preseason to get going. They look better and better, a lot like that team that finished last year, but now they keep improving. I love the system there, and the Jets are really bad. And don't think some of these Miami players that were there when Adam Gase is there don't want to make a little point to him that this look at like Devontae Parker and stuff. Miami over. Miami goes big.
You know, I didn't even think of that. That is a great point to make for sure, is to get revenge on Adam Gase. because he is awful. So pretty easy one for you. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. Green Bay is a 1-point road favorite. 54.5 is the over. One of the harder games to pick of the week, Bubba. What do you got?
It is hard because both these teams play good defense, but in the end, it's Brady versus Rodgers, and they're going to make the play calls in the end. So this is what's going to happen. Ego is going to come in a factor. Green Bay coming off the bye, goes into Tampa Bay, gets the W and the over. Green Bay over.
Green Bay and the over. Did you, I think my favorite meme of the week was the one where it was Khalil Mack. No, that's great. Chase Claypool did one where he was, he photoshopped his head over Tom Brady. No, it was the picture of Khalil Mack in Brady's face and Brady's rolling his eyes. And then right underneath it, it was the bear attacking Leo DiCaprio in The Revenant. So, yes,
I saw that one. That one was very, very good.
Yeah, NFL memes is just they are so good at making those. I don't know how many people are working on those over there, but I mad respect. That is they make me laugh almost every single day. Even when it's making fun of the Steelers, some of them hurt, but most of them I'm like, yeah, I get it. You know, you kill everyone on there, so you got to make that joke too. Three games left here. The Rams are on the road against the Niners. They're 3-point favorites on the road. 51.5 is the over in that game. How do you see it going?
Niners are broken. Like, it's really bad. Watch. Like, I know I just said the Dolphins killed them, but it's bad. Give me the Rams and give me the over. Like, these teams usually have a shootout, but the Rams will come out victorious.
Yeah, I took the Rams. I took the under because I just don't have a good feel, and I don't know if San Francisco going to be able to score at all. Are they going to go back to Jimmy after clearly playing him too quickly off of his ankle injury?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the first half when he played, he was lost, like horribly lost.
He couldn't plant. He couldn't plant his foot and throw. So
it was really, really bad.
By the way, Bell is signing with the Chiefs. So
all those CEH shares.
Yep. I got to put my running shoes on to take that victory lap. So,
oh boy, get on that treadmill, Boggs.
Tastes so good. You get that
Coca-Cola afterwards too as a reward.
A nice cold one. That's a cold one to me. It's a Coca-Cola.
It's like on Django Unchained. Get you a tall one. You earned it.
Kansas City at Buffalo. The Chiefs are 4-point favorites. 57.5 is the over on that game.
It's a tricky one because Buffalo looks so bad on Tuesday, but they're not that bad of a football team. Kansas City's looked a little broken of late. Now trying to integrate.
They just lost to the Raiders.
Yeah. Broken is maybe the understatement there. And it's in Buffalo. If there's fans, that'd be a big deal. I'll take Kansas City to bounce back on this one. Give me Kansas City -4 and give me the over. A little Sunday night back and forth fun.
Yeah, that one is it's not Sunday night though. That's Monday night game because it got pushed back. We get the stupid Niners and Rams on Sunday night football. I mean, I know the Niners were just in the Super Bowl, but everyone is hurt for them, and playing against the Rams. I don't know. At least
even in Pittsburgh into Sunday night.
Have the fires calmed down at least in your area? Yeah.
They have, but it's supposed to be hot this whole week, so we'll see if that continues. But yes, they've calmed down.
Okay, yeah, at least the air will be clear during that game. The last game, the Monday Night Football game this week, Arizona on the road against the Cowboys. Obviously, no Dak from that horrible, horrible injury. The Cardinals are road favorites by 1.5. 55 is the over on that game, Bubba. How do you see it playing out?
It's a tricky with no Dak in play, and that was a tragic situation. Arizona's like, they're two different teams. You never know. It's a Jekyll and Hyde with them. Like, on paper, they should roll in and dominate. But Monday night in the Big D, give me Dallas on this one and give me the under, as they're going to want to run the ball as much as possible.
I took Dallas, but I did take the over in this game, which makes me like, your picks have been so good on the over unders, you and Welsh. So whenever I'm different on both you guys, both of you have the under in this game. But I just, the Cardinals defense is bad. The Cowboys defense is bad. I don't know how they don't play point for point. So I kind of like Andy Dalton and DFS as a cheap option this week too. What are you thinking on Andy Dalton for this week?
Yeah, he's not bad. My cheap options, you got Fitzpatrick and you got Tannehill at 5,900 each. That's just like gravy for me. That's really affordable and good. But I don't mind Dalton. You have to play the whole weekend slate for that. Maybe a since there's two Monday games, there'll be a two-game slate. Everyone's going to focus on Buffalo and Kansas City. You can get different with Dalton.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break here, and when we come back, we will finish it off with Bubba's three-game parlay or three-pick parlay. So we'll be right back after this break. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League wrapping up. You hear Endless Love. We know that the three-hour tour is coming to an end now. If you would, please go check out the In This League Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, and where we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got GroupMe rooms. We've got live streams, all kinds of stuff. Going on over there for you. If you would check it out, that'd be awesome. Bubba, a three-pick parlay. You go first, and then I'll tell you what I'm picking.
This was tricky this week, especially because I like to parlay my over-unders, and I'm not as in love with some of those, but I'm going to go with Carolina -1.5. I love them to win that game outright and big. I'm going to go with Tennessee -3.5. I really like them to stomp up on the Houston Texans. And the third one was tricky. I almost went Green Bay, because I think they obviously get it done, but I respect they're on the road against with Tom Brady. I respect that. So I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going Pittsburgh -3.
Ah, okay. I would not have picked any of those games, but I also did pick all against the spreads, and so did the Welsh. We both took Detroit against Jacksonville, and that was Detroit -3.5 on the road. And I know taking Detroit is dicey.
Well, they were high on my list too, so I get it.
We both took your Dolphins because the Jets look terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible, awful. And Welsh's last, actually, no. I took Miami. He did not take Miami. He took the Chiefs to bounce back and look good at Buffalo -4. And the last one that we did both take, and it's, you know, for him, it's being a masochist. For me, it's because I'm just playing the trend. Yeah, we took the Rams -3. So that was one of the easier ones to take.
I don't mind that either. That's a good one.
So was there any other one that stuck out to you that you thought maybe you would take?
Detroit was real close. Real, real close. It's just like Detroit on the road would be the ultimate like, oh, no, I'm not going to happen. It should be so easy, and they'll make it difficult.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
They'll win by three.
Yeah, they'll win by the three. Right, exactly. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Be sure to check us out on the Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, and on the Twitter @BogmanSports for me, @BDNTrick for Bubba, and @IsItTheWelsh for the Welsh. We'll see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.